So I got everybody in the car. Before we were on the interstate, everybody was asleep and me.
Nice.
I pull up to Waffle House. Everybody starts waking up. Where are we? Why are we here? You told me to go to Waffle House. You fucking told me to come here. And Adam goes, I don't remember that, but I believe you. Kayla was not feeling it. Kayla just laid her head on me and like pulled her hoodie over her face. And the waitress is like, is she okay? And then Adam just goes, it's been one of those kind of nights. And this lady's like 85 years old. And she goes, oh, yeah, I understand.
She works at the night shift at Waffle House.
She knows what's up.
Yeah.
And then a car almost plowed through the Waffle House. That was cool. They, like, hit the brakes.
I literally was holding on to the side of the booth with my hoodie up the whole time. I didn't eat or drink anything. Like, Alex is trying to get me to eat, drink something, and I'm like, I just want to go home. Take me home.
So... And then apparently somebody came in and somebody was dancing.
I do remember that.
I don't remember that at all. I was in my waffle.
Yeah.
I was in the waffle zone.
In the waffle zone.
But, when we got to Waffle House, Adam was like not in any shape to do anything. And then when we left Waffle House, Adam was like 90%.
Yeah.
Everything was fine in Adam's world. He also ate like... a waffle, 2 pieces of ham, 4 pieces of bacon, 2 pieces of toast, and some fucking hash browns and 2 eggs.
Well, all that grease like, breaks up the alcohol.
He ate a lot of fucking food.
What's like there are two things you should drink if you're eating greasy, spicy things, like hot wings, for example. It's milk or alcohol. Because the problem is the grease... holds the spice and you won't digest it. It'll just sit there and fester, where the milk will coat it or the alcohol will break up the...
What was funny is while we were there, Adam was like, switching to Golden Monkey after beer was a bad decision.
Yeah. He kept saying that while he was here.
And Kayla probably had 4 shots too many. Maybe.
No.
You were fine.
So that last, after that last shot, I had the one left that I poured into the
bottle.
The bottle, and I was like, I sipped on it a little bit. I was like, I can't do it, because I knew like I took that last one. It's like this is the point. If I take this last shot, I can do it, but vomit will happen. I'm at that point. I just know it.
I had eaten enough, and I ate a little bit afterwards that I was okay.
I know myself well enough. So at about... God, because you guys... It was late.
Super late.
Just crazy late.
Yeah, we probably left here at...
2 or 3.
It was probably 3.
3.
3:30 maybe.
Yeah, it was
we didn't get home until 4:30.
Yeah.
So we probably...
It was probably 3.
We probably got to Waho around 3:15, 3:30, and got home around 4:30.
Yeah, so I it was probably about 6 or 6:30 in the morning, because it was like just light out. And the next morning we were supposed to go to the gym at 7. Julie was like, "You going?" No, that's not gonna happen. So it was like 6. It was just before she got up though. It's like I was like, "Oh, this is the point. This is it." Do I have to rush to the bathroom right now or not? And I waited it out and waited like 15 minutes later. It was like, it's good. We're good. Everything's fine. Okay. I worked it out.
Liver caught up.
It was dicey there for a minute.
We went to Waffle House again afterwards, because sometimes we go after trivia because it's right by Cyberg's.
Yeah.
And Cyberg's food sucks.
Yeah, we don't. Well, especially since we can't eat meat.
It's been hard. But even when we could eat meat, there wasn't that much there that was good.
There were some things. I like their chicken.
I like their wings.
Yeah, the teriyaki chicken things that they got going on. And Adam was like, that girl was here when you were dying. And I looked up. I don't remember her. But she's looking at me. I'm like, So I'm just eating my waffle. And then we go to pay, and she's like, she wasn't our waitress, but she was standing behind the counter. And we went to pay our waitress, and she looked at me, she goes, "How are you doing tonight?" I was like, I'm okay.
What do you know? So I'm looking at Netflix right now to see about maybe what's going on next week.
Oh, we get to decide the new movie.
So
the original Ghostbusters.
Actually, that's been discussed before. Anyway, two things. So normally the week after Sausage Fest, which is coming up soon, we do something, but with just the pretense of talking about it. But will have
already happened by the time this gets released.
It will have already happened by the time this gets released. This will get released like the day after. I'll still be in recovery mode when this gets released.
I'll be at work.
Not me. So that said, you can still donate to Sausage Fest through the month of October. It will still go for this year's donation.
Get you some t-shirts.
Yeah. Hoodies, t-shirts, glasses, bag. I thought about doing Sausage Party, but I think I'm the only one that saw that while it was in theaters.
It's not in theaters anymore?
I did not see that.
I don't think it is.
Oh.
And it was... I think we'll find another reason to talk about it. Maybe that'll be next year's Skanksgiving movie. It's really fucking funny.
This year, that shit's coming up soon, too.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to see if that's going to be out yet then. Anyway, we had talked about Bear City. That is still that's on true. Netflix. And Rob is still saying, yes, we should see that. So I'm thinking Bear City for the post Sausage Fest movie.
That's a good idea.
We might even be able to screen that over the weekend.
Yeah.
So, but we have, if, depending on how next week looks, because next week is normally kind of crazy.
Right.
But as long as we're going to do this next week, we need a movie. And Netflix is telling me that The Big Short and Spotlight, which were two of the Oscar movies from last year, are both available.
I was going to suggest The Burbs, if you guys haven't done that already.
The Burbs. Is that that old...
That's a comedy.
It's an 89 comedy. Horror comedy.
Horror and comedy tend to not be...
old?
No.
That's when I graduated.
That's when I was born.
Anyway, I haven't seen that movie in a long time. But yeah, I'm up for whatever, as long as it's not a Batman movie in disguise.
The Big Short. It's about Robin. No.
God damn it.
The Big Short's about the economic housing collapse. And Spotlight is about, I believe it's
which housing Boston? Collapse? The one in the 80s or the one in 2006?
2006.
Oh, okay.
Adam loves Boston.
I lived through that one.
I don't know if it's Boston. Let me. Why don't I look at this? Yeah, it's Boston. It's the reporters and editors at the Boston Globe relentlessly investigate a shocking child molestation cover-up by the Catholic Church.
Oh, I mean.
Mark Ruffalo, Michael Keaton, Rachel McAdams.
I'd kind of rather do the giant financial crisis than child rape.
I kind of want to do both of these movies at some point.
Ruffalo. I'm down with Mark Ruffalo.
Going to vote for him to get naked? Did you see that video going around?
No.
I posted it on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. You and Adam both posted it, right?
It was, yeah. It was.
I didn't watch it, but I saw.
Apparently Joss Whedon put it together. And it's a bunch of actors saying how we should vote. You know, vote against, you know, get out and vote. It's, you know, there are huge problems. If you don't vote, this is historic. And, you know, you don't want a racist, big xenophobic bigot out there. Mm-hmm. And they keep cycling through all these famous people. And Mark Ruffalo's up there and he's like, yeah, and if you vote, Mark Ruffalo will get naked. What? Then they have a bunch of other people And like Robert Downey Jr. is like, you will see Mark Ruffalo's dick. Somebody says the full Monty, and Neil Patrick Harris is like, the full Marky. The video is worth watching, though. It's pretty good. The last celebrity you see is the most important one. And it's Robert Downey Jr. saying the last celebrity you see is always the one that's most important. And this other rando guy pops and he goes, really? The last one? And then Robert Downey Jr. pops back up, yes, really. It's worth checking out. But yeah, a bunch of people were like, yeah, vote to make Mark be naked.
I'm down with that.
All right, so next two movies.
Oh, sure. By Skank. When is Election Day? November.
We will know by Skanksgiving.
Yeah, will we be here by Skanksgiving? We could have all moved to Canada by that day.
We do need to do an election special.
Idiocracy.
You know,
yes.
That is...
easy.
So the election's on Tuesday, so we'll be fresh, like on Wednesday.
Oh, we will be fresh.
That whatever happens...
It would be so cool to live podcast the election, though, like during the election.
We could,
do that.
I'm going to be up all night watching the polling anyway.
Yeah, I usually am.
Just switch our recording night to Tuesday that week.
Yeah.
So there's not anything else weird.
There's no way my deployment's going to be on that day. Like, they'll move it if it is. So we
But isn't it earlier in the month? Isn't it November 11th? Or
Yeah, but my deployment for October's on the 18th.
I don't know.
It's the second Tuesday in November that has a Monday before or some shit like that. Yeah, the way they fucking do elections is stupid.
I remember staying
up. Okay, Google, when's Veterans Day this year?
I remember staying up until like 6 a.m.
Oh, that's... Why did I ask for Veterans Day?
Election Day
is the 8th.
Okay. Yeah,
Veterans Day the 11th, which is a Friday.
No, it's the first Tuesday that has a...
That has a Monday
before. Monday before it. Yeah,
that's what you said.
I said the 2nd. It was the 1st.
Yep.
It's like fucking Easter. Somebody asked me like when Easter is. I'm like, I don't fucking know. They change it every year. Who knows? Fucking Catholic Pope puts a bunny in a hat, and what calendar he dies on. Like, that's... I don't fucking... They've got some weird ritual that probably figures it
There's
out.
There's actually rules. There's very specific rules.
This is your religion.
No. This is the religion that I left because it didn't make sense.
I don't understand anything about Catholicism, so you're barking up the wrong tree.
We watched Dogma.
Yeah, and Dogma isn't historically accurate to Catholicism.
But close enough.
It actually...
It's quite enjoyable.
The dogma in it is accurate.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, except for like the shit monster.
But that's not Dogma.
Yeah.
Right.
And fuck, maybe they had shit monsters. Who knows?
The Golgothan.
Yeah.
That seemed like... A viable,
like Catholics would have,
right? Yeah, it seems
well.
Sure,
the idea of it came from Golgotha, which is the mountain the hill where Christ was crucified, and it's a mountain of literally a mountain of shit,
mm-hmm.
because like when you get crucified, your bowels get released,
right?
And it's just piles and piles of shit.
History's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Alex.
This is Kayla.
We heard the Backseat Producers talking about shit.
Talking about shit mountain.
Just the three of us. You and me and Tony watching just the three of us.
What is going on?
The next line's supposed to be, we can make it if we try.
We can make it if we try.
Did your voice just crack?
Maybe. He got all excited thinking about the soil and drinks.
Double puberty.
Oh, that double puberty.
Oh wait, the next one's coming out after Sausage Fest.
This one is coming out after Sausage.
This one's coming out after Sausage Fest. Yep. Well, hopefully the Soylent drinks went well.
Hopefully.
The Mutter's Milk.
Or we get another drink banned from Sausage Fest.
Yeah.
Wait, I forgot about that.
No yeah. pudding shots, no Jell-O shots. I wonder, so we went to our lake trip. My mom made boozy popsicles.
Mm.
They were really good. They were really good. She made them very strong.
I'm just remembering last year at Sausage Fest when some guy was being dragged around by two other guys. They knocked on a door. Is this yours? Yeah, that's ours. Oh, hey, guys.
Oh, it's a bed. Yep. I have a bed. Yep, you do, buddy.
There's a 50-50 chance on if you're going to piss it tonight.
I think the odds are better than that.
I bet that guy felt great the next day.
Yeah. So one of my my favorite parts is walking around the day after and seeing all the people that I saw just completely hammered the night before. Like, and looking them in the eye. And have them wonder why they know me. Like, they're like, I know you from somewhere. And either then they either notice like pink beads or my Sausage Fest shirt or something like that. Then the realization comes out of why they know me. And then they quickly look away. Mm-hmm. It's the best.
I thought it was funny when it was gets to the point at like 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, when you start people coming in, they're like, can I just get a bottle of water? I'll give you $20. I
want yeah. water.
Like people just...
They just want water, yeah. Yeah. They
just wanted water or that's, cookies. Or,
that's why I get cases of water.
Yeah. Like, yeah, man, don't die. Here's some water.
There have been a few times, like, the first year we had this guy that kept showing up, and he was just completely hammered. And, like, he should have been drinking water. He just kept getting drinks. And it's like, ugh. That was not the same guy. There was a different guy that I actually had to kick out. So the only time I had to kick somebody out was the first year.
Wow.
Yep. He was making people uncomfortable. Way. He was making Way uncomfortable.
Who's Way?
Way He. She's a cosplayer. I don't know who Asian.
That is. She must not have been there last year.
She was at the con last year, but I don't think she spent a lot of time at her. Normally she does, but for whatever reason, she had other stuff going on.
When I was serving drinks, there could have been 50 people in the other room, and I would have had no idea.
Well, she would have been. She would. She when she comes, she sits. She comes on our side of the.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she helps pass out drinks and stuff like that.
I don't remember anybody.
Yeah, she showed up the first year like this petite Asian, just very very tiny little thing. And she's in there. She's like, oh, man, you guys are doing really good. She's like, can I help? So she jumps behind the bar and she's helping. Next thing I know, she's standing on the bed yelling at people. Hey, you took a drink. Put money in there. And they're looking at her like, yeah. Sure.
Nice.
It was great. It was really good. We'll talk more about Sausage Fest later. All right, so next week we're going to talk about not Spotlight. Was it The Big Short? We'll do The Big Short.
Okay. The Big Short.
It was an Oscar movie. Supposedly, it's good.
We'll decide. I guess
we'll figure that out.
And this week we're talking about The Producers,
the original.
The original.
I don't think I've ever seen the remake.
So here's something funny.
We almost
funny.
Did.
Yeah. Here's something funny. So with T-Mobile, you get the T-Mobile Tuesdays, and you like almost every week they're giving out Vudu credits, mm-hmm. so you can rent movies on Vudu. Mm-hmm. So I went out to my Vudu account and selected The Producers and rented it. And then I went to look at my Vudu library, and I see The Producers. And The Producers... The fuck is going on? So apparently at some point, I got a free copy of the remake. I own a copy of a digital copy of the remake.
Wow.
I've never seen it.
I searched the Play Store for The Producers.
I don't even know who's in The Producers, the new one.
Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick.
That's the original, wasn't even in the first set of results for me. I hit the first one, and then I'm like, Matthew Broderick?
Yeah.
This is not the 60s. No. But my thumb was like almost hit purchase or rent, and I was like, ah, no, wait a minute.
They did a revival on Broadway, and those guys were the characters when they did the revival on Broadway. So
they've updated it now. You can now they're now right next to each other.
It's probably based on popularity, which, considering Gene Wilder just died, that's
right.
Probably why.
It was like the remake of The Producers, like The Interview and something else. So then I had to go to the next set, and it was like the fourth or fifth option when I rented it. But yeah. So
what'd you think?
Uncomfortable intro? Good movie is what I'm going to go with.
Kayla?
I liked it. There's a lot of cringy, weird stuff that obviously would never pass today, but I thought it's a good movie.
Almost want to see the remake to see if they update any of that stuff.
Right.
It was super sexist. I mean, but yeah. A part of me was thinking like that was just that dude's character.
No.
But the other part of me was like, no, this was just how things were in the 60s.
Yeah. I mean, there is no... All the female characters are ancillary. And they're all weird caricatures and
touch me, hold me.
She's probably the strongest female character in the movie, but she's displayed as like this. It's this weird, like voyeuristic, like I don't know.
Yeah,
the beginning was really uncomfortable.
Yeah,
like I thought it was funny, but it was just like the way acting was back then.
The acting was real over the top.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it was totally Broadway-esque.
And right, as far exactly. As
it was based on the play.
Right.
Right.
See, but I feel like a lot of movies were like that back then. I don't know if it has to just do with the way they had to shoot movies, the way sound had to be. Like, I don't know what it takes to put a movie together.
I don't necessarily think that was it.
Yeah.
I think part of it is, so when you see stage plays that have been turned into movies, there are times when you can tell they're basically just shooting from the play script.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not being creative with camera angles, or they're not taking advantage of the medium.
Right.
And I think this is one of those movies that kind of falls into that trap,
right,
where they're not really being creative with what they can do with camera angles and camera movement and things like that. There was a little bit, but not much.
Right.
I mean, I would agree with that, because like if you're at a play, or if you're putting on a play, you need to emote for the people in the back to understand what's going on.
Yes. Right.
So you're screaming everything. You're over exaggerating. You don't have to do that in a movie.
Right.
It's you, the cast, the camera guy, the sound guy.
Yeah, there wasn't a consideration. This works in a play setting. It doesn't necessarily work.
I mean, it didn't bother me so much. The Dr. Strangelove had some similar parts like that.
Like I said, but I feel like older movies were like that because this is still a newer medium,
yeah.
New-ish. And for the majority of it, people were still going to plays mostly. Am I not... Right? Like, weren't those...
When this came out, probably not. But, I mean, there weren't well-defined rules like there are now.
What do you mean?
Like nowadays, you have rules for how quickly you can move the camera without the audience getting sick and stuff like that. Like, I don't think they had that back
but
then.
Also, they don't have, like, the catalog of movies to look back on like we do.
So
or actors today
like,
do.
Like, one of the arguments about television right now, for example, is that... And I will fight anybody that says that this is not the golden age of television. Like
fight them.
Like, we're no, like, well, there was
it's the
there
golden
was,
age of content. It might not be the golden age of television.
Oh, what do you mean? I would say,
then what's your then I, what's the, your standard?
The content is glorious, but like television as a whole is.
The, do you think it's gone downhill since some no, no, age? The, you think there is a better no, no, age no. for television?
The quality of the content is immaculate. However, I think there are fewer people subscribing to what would be normally considered television.
Okay, so we're talking
services.
About
yeah.
two different things.
Yeah, right, I was just right. trying to narrow the scope.
So what I'm referring to is the
because we were about to fight you. The like, content. I don't know if you felt whoa. That.
I understand what you're saying, and, yeah. and I'm with you. The content that's being produced is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best that it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's part and parcel because we have the generation of content producers. We are fully in a world where all the content producers watched television.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There was never a time when television wasn't part of their lives. They've seen what worked. They've seen what didn't. They remember, you know, we're actually getting closer to the day when we're getting out of the realm when people remember only having three stations.
Right.
And that being it, like we had, you know, here we had five stations, six if you counted PBS.
You're talking over the air?
Over the air.
Yeah.
I mean, because when I first started watching television, that's all we had. We didn't have cable.
Right.
So we had ABC, NBC, CBS. We had two local affiliates, 11 and 30, if you could get one or the other sometimes, because sometimes you couldn't, depending on the signal. And then Channel 9 or PBS. That was it. That's what we had. So you were at the mercy of what was on, and it's nowhere near as good as it is now, scattered across hundreds of stations.
I remember, like, everybody in my family, like, getting cable. Like, they all got cable at one time.
Mm.
Like, around the, like, within the, like, a year or two of each other. So, but yeah, I remember going from, like, we had more than five channels. It was probably like 16 or 17 channels over the air. But like suddenly having, you know, 60.
Yeah.
Like shit.
Yeah.
You know.
How could like, I ever watch all this?
Yeah. Like, like oh, what's Nickelodeon? Yeah. like oh, fuck, this is awesome. But no, that makes sense. And nowadays, like, I don't know, we can just do more with less. Now, like well, you don't need $200,000 worth of camera equipment.
Well, there's so, that like, as well. Yeah,
your content the
barrier,
creators
the
are
barrier
much,
of entry is much yeah, lower.
Your content creators, like you have more content creators now than you have ever had, because you know now you can go buy a DSLR that shoots video for $1,500.
Yeah,
and I can't tell the difference between it and what's filmed in a you know Sony soundstage or whatever, right? Like,
yeah, know. I mean. There was a time when it was totally possible that you could consume all the content being produced, all the new content being produced over the air.
Yeah.
If you had a way of recording it and playing it back, which for a long period of time, we didn't even have that.
Well, yeah, but VHS came out in the 70s?
It may have came out in the 70s, but it wasn't affordable until...
Yeah, I don't think it was affordable until the 80s, but yeah. I think VHS came out in the 70s.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly when. I remember about when we got it. And I want to say it was in the 80s. But, I mean, I think we had that and we had cable pretty close to the same time. The point I'm trying to make, though, is that I think we've learned and we have people that have a ton of experience consuming the media of television, consuming that serialized media, and understanding how to create content much better for it. You know, we have things like Netflix, which creates content and dumps it out. It just whole cloth. Here's 8 hours of television. Here's 12 hours of television. Just dumps it out. And people watch it over the course of a weekend.
I like the way Netflix does that. Honestly.
We watched Stranger Things this... We finished watching it this weekend. And one of the interesting things about it, which is so different when you watch just standard, even cable television, is there were times where you would finish an episode, you'd start the next episode. There's no previously on or any of that garbage. It's here's the last episode, here's the next episode, and it is almost picking up 5 seconds later.
Yeah.
Like, there's no break. Like, it almost seems like here is an arbitrary good point that's mildly cliffhangerish for us to cut, call that an episode, here's the next one.
Oh. Well, and the other nice thing about that, too, is they're not stuck into the, this episode needs to be 23 minutes long.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's one of the things that I love about, we've been watching Steven Universe. That's just fucking awesome. But they'll have an episode that's 10 minutes long. Because mm-hmm. that's how long it took to tell that story.
Yep.
Each and, episode is 10 minutes long.
No, some of them are much longer. Some of them are like 15 minutes. Some of them are 16 minutes. Yeah.
Much longer.
Well, that's 50% longer.
They're usually around 12 minutes long.
But yeah. Like,
They're two episodes in a...
They don't have to cookie cutter the format. So like they just... They end it when the story's done.
Mm-hmm.
They don't fluff it up. They don't chop it up. They just... You know, oh, that's our scripts. We're done. Yep. So,
yeah, I mean, and I appreciate that a lot with a lot of the television I watch. Now that I watch more cable than broadcast. My favorite show recently is Mr. Robot. I've been just mainlining that. The season finale is recording right now. As soon as you guys leave, I'm turning that on. What I love about it is like the first season was almost strictly 1 hour long episodes. Occasionally we'd go, you know, 3 minutes over or whatever. I think the season finale, the first season, was a little bit longer. This season they've had an hour and 20 minute, hour and 10, hour, you know. Yeah. They've been all over the place. And some people complain about that. Because they're not used to the pacing. Because the problem is there's more content. So one of the things I've noticed is when they give the content producers more leeway is sometimes those content producers feel free to linger in a scene longer, like let the actors emote more or just do something that normally you wouldn't see because they're trying to cut for time. They're
yeah.
shaving everything down so that they can make sure they hit that hour. But you might have a 3 minute long scene of two people having a conversation that probably could have lasted 30 seconds. But they're putting really natural pauses or very uncomfortable pauses in it.
I mean, if it furthers the story, I'm all,
yeah,
like, go for it. Right.
And I am too, but some people don't like it, well, which, you know, whatever. But what's really cool is that we have these content creators that have learned from decades of television that's come before. And I think that one of the things with the producers that it hurts it is that it's a stage performance that didn't bother to translate it to the medium.
I would agree to that. I feel like this movie probably had like 15% more it could have given. Like if they just...
There were a few of the performances...
If they just made some minor adjustments.
Yeah, like there's some of the performances that are just a little too over the top. Like there's a scene real early on where Gene Wilder's just screaming like a maniac over...
Losing his shit. It turns fucking red like yeah. a lobster.
Yeah.
They so we were talking to somebody about that before. You were talking about how Gene Wilder was having these panic attacks, and it was so
it was
real. Him, but I thought the whole it was like
no. Him screaming was the part that bothered me. Him being able to turn his skin red was the part that impressed me.
That's easy to do. Don't ask me to do it now.
I can't do that.
But like the way he portrayed like having these panic attacks, it was clownish, which I thought was fine for the movie. But you were saying that you thought it was
no. What I enjoyed about his acting was just him being able to turn his skin red.
Well, that's not like, what you have that said, much control. Alex. Sorry. And now you're here answering for what you said.
I just need to be recorded every moment of my life so I can reference it. I have Sam take notes.
So, I almost would have liked to see his performance a little more subdued. It was so over the top.
Yeah.
The other things that bugged me was when the main actor...
What you doing?
I'm drawing a Snapchat for the podcast, but Snapchat quit on me while I was doing it. And I had done a lot of work to it. It's very special to me. But okay. I had just saved it, so... Continue.
I'm disappointed with the other main actor breaking the fourth wall so often.
Breaking the fourth wall doesn't bother me at all.
I don't know.
Did he break the fourth wall?
Like, he would just look at the camera a lot. Like, whenever something happened, he would just, like, look at the camera. I think
that is funny.
I don't know.
I think it can be.
It kind of bugged me a little bit in this. I could nitpick this apart to where it would sound like I don't like it. But overall, I liked the movie.
For me, it was okay. Yeah. I mean, I normally wouldn't watch this. You know, I don't think it was a bad movie.
Right. I thought the premise was interesting, like, seeing them there are problematic themes in this movie, but, like, seeing how they're trying to screw this movie up, they're trying to do everything wrong, and then seeing it come together and it being just, like, the best thing ever.
Spring time for Hitler and Germany. Winter for Poland and France.
If you think about this... This is kind of how Kung Fury is as awesome as it is.
Right.
It really
is.
That's
the reason. And that's the thing we know. Like, everyone knows now, you put enough bad things together, it's going to be awesome.
Right. Yeah.
They did it intentionally in Kung Fury. I feel like they
Yeah, that's an obvious.
Yeah.
But I think Kung Fury is the lesson that we learn from the producers.
Right.
That's true.
You know, where they were trying to throw so many bad things in there that they hit the tipping point of, holy shit, this is Sharknado.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got enough negative numbers and they're like, oh, it's positive now. Integer overflow. Yay!
Yeah. Crash the system. So I want to talk for just a second about the guy they bring in as their lead.
Oh.
Did anybody else get a Robin Williams vibe out of that guy?
Oh my God.
I was trying to think of where. It isn't just Robin Williams, but yeah, he's got kind of like
the mannerisms,
the physicality that Robin Williams had.
Like, if this movie was made 10 years later, Robin Williams would have been he would have been in that role.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just
Robin
his mannerisms.
In the 80s. Yeah, like about that age.
Yeah, that flamboyant, where he would sometimes get really flamboyant and sassy.
Right.
And it's like, I was watching part of it and I was like, holy shit, that's Robin Williams.
Yeah, no, I also thought that too. I don't know.
It was just a little bit. I think my other problem with it was the consequences were just a little bit too neat.
Oh,
it was
going to jail?
Just the ending was just a little bit too tidy.
Yeah. That didn't
bother me.
We're
going to blow up the theater, but nobody gets hurt by the bomb, and then we go to jail. And
I feel like they could have done without the blowing up the theater part. If they're just going to send them to jail, like...
They blew up the theater because they didn't want to... Well, not
they. I know why they...
The tax man didn't want to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
So they're like, we can blow up the theater. Did anybody have a problem with the Nazis acting? Because I think that was fucking spot on.
The Nazi?
Yeah.
The playwright?
What?
That
Lude?
Guy was awesome.
I love that guy.
I like how he wrote this thing and like completely serious. Like, this is my shit. Then the play's out there and he just fucking storms out. That was so good.
I loved his like closeted feelings for Hitler, like especially when you first get introduced to him as a character. They burst into his apartment and he's like, you know,
got a framed photo of Hitler.
But like I don't necessarily mean closeted as in like homosexual. I mean closeted as in people aren't allowed to love. You're not allowed to love Hitler. I'm just gonna go out and say this. You're not allowed to love Hitler.
That's bad, okay?
Yeah, and they first meet him, and he's like, "Oh no, you know, I'm a citizen of this country," and like, and he's like going out of his way, you know, trying to. And but then slowly that, like, as he as they're talking to him about the play, he starts like peeling back on that. And
yeah,
mein Führer could dance.
Oh, okay.
That's great.
Who was he going on about? Churchill?
Yeah. We must celebrate with schnapps.
Oh.
No, oh my god, his acting was so fucking good. And when he pulls up to the premiere, he's like abusing the valet.
Was he?
Yeah, it's good.
So
it was like Franz Liebner or some shit like that was his name.
Yeah, I don't remember. I have a nit to pick about something Adam said, and he's not here, so he can't defend himself.
Perfect.
But he kept claiming that that Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory was Gene Wilder. It's a movie he phoned in that he didn't want to do.
Uh-huh.
The end of his contract, didn't want to do it. All this other garbage.
Yeah, Adam was
and
saying
I don't
that
know where he got that from. Because I searched high and low for information about that because it didn't ring true for me.
I think that was Adam, reading into the acting.
Adam, this is us calling you out. Where's your receipts?
Yeah,
man? Where are the receipts?
Well, hold on. Now, to be fair,
now
if Adam watched Willy Wonka the same way that he watched The Hunt, he saw a totally different movie.
That's true.
Than we did.
Yeah, like I'm reading articles about it, and now, granted, most of them at this point are posthumous,
right?
Or they're rehashing old articles. So there's also
there's
a
that,
tendency
like,
for people not to speak ill of the dead,
right?
Kind of thing,
right?
There's also a thing that I've noticed in very recent years, where if somebody is lauded as a good person, if they did anything bad shortly after their death, somebody's bringing that shit.
Oh yeah,
out.
It's coming out.
It's no, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to honor this person in death because they did this shitty thing.
Right.
I mean, I've seen that time and time again in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see really anything about Gene Wilder.
And yeah.
Like, nothing. So, like, I didn't find any information about that. And to the contrary, like, the articles that I was reading about it was he had a stipulation that he would do the role as long as he could do the scene that he suggested, which was the scene where you first see Willy Wonka, where he hobbles out on the cane and then does the flip and mm-hmm. stuff, which nobody knew he was going to do that. Like, him and the director were the only ones that knew he was going to do that.
And none of the actors had met Gene before that moment.
Yeah, they wanted that to be a surprise. And Gene himself said he really wanted that scene in there because he wanted the audience to feel like they were lied to. And to then realize that at any point, what you see might not be real. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's somebody who puts a lot of thought and effort into creating that character. Doesn't seem like somebody who then phones in their performance.
I think Adam said he was phoning it in because the character Willy Wonka is portrayed as being disinterested and uncaring and kind of like,
yeah,
he's lackadaisical.
Yeah, you might die, but fuck it, you're purple now. Blah blah right. blah blah blah. Sing a song.
But that's the character.
That's character,
right?
Yeah,
it's totally character.
But
yeah,
I didn't do any research into it, so
I looked just because I was curious because it didn't make sense to me.
I don't think Willy Wonka was Gene Wilder's best movie, though. I still think
it's his most famous by far.
Yeah,
it's his most famous role.
I like his performance best in See No Evil, Hear No Evil.
I don't think, other than Willy Wonka,
it's been a billion teen years since I've seen that movie.
I think this is the first movie, the only other movie other than Willy Wonka I've seen with Gene Wilder where I can recall.
I saw this and Silver Streak, and like there was a number of movies that came out in the 80s that I saw mostly because we had HBO.
It's easy to see.
And it's like there was a ton of them that came out that.
It's easy to see why he was popular and, you know, why people adored him and why his. I mean, I still think his movies were successful, even though I haven't.
Young Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah.
Blazing Saddles.
Never seen that.
Blazing Saddles.
Was that with Richard Pryor?
No. I don't think Richard Pryor's in that one. Nope. No. He's in See No Evil, Hear No Evil.
Yeah. And Silver Streak.
Alice in Wonderland.
Which one?
1999.
Nope.
He was?
Which?
Which? That's what it says. Mock Turtle.
Especially, like, watching the beginning of this movie, it said, and co-starring Gene Wilder. I definitely thought he was a stronger actor than the other person.
Yeah, he was in the movie less, though.
Zero Mosel?
He owns...
Mostel?
Yeah. I don't think he was in the movie less.
There were, like, most of the time, as minutes on screen, he was in the movie less than the other guy, I think.
I guess if you consider the when he's... That guy's courting those old ladies, but other than that... Every scene he's with.
Yeah, but there's a lot of that.
No, not really. It's in the beginning. There's a short montage.
Yeah, I don't know any of the other Gene Wilder movies. I'm looking through them, but I haven't seen them.
I still didn't get... That's a mosquito.
Yeah.
Don't bang on the table, but end its life.
No, nope. There it isn't.
This is the sound of us killing a mosquito.
All right.
Killed it.
Each one of us took a turn of that mosquito, and Tony's the one who...
Ding.
I was trying to not make a loud slapping noise.
Even watching Young Frankenstein, I didn't get... Like, there's something in Young Frankenstein that's missing a Gene Wilder factor that I felt more in this movie. Like, the role he plays in Young Frankenstein...
He's more subdued in Young Frankenstein than he is in this movie.
But it isn't just when he's, like, getting hysterical. Like, there are parts... Like, he does this, like, puckish, mischievous thing very well. I'm trying to think... There's a specific scene in the movie where... I can't remember.
Young Frankenstein?
No.
In The Producers.
Yes.
Yeah. It's where he's theorizing about making a flop and making a bunch of money.
That's one of them, yeah.
But then he does that in Young Frankenstein, too, where he sees his uncle's work and starts freaking out.
No. Also, it's been a couple years since I've seen Young Frankenstein. And I didn't really... I'm going to go out and
say this.
Wait,
didn't we watch that movie?
I will watch Young Frankenstein around Halloween, but...
Didn't we watch that movie for this podcast?
No, we watched it for Halloween.
Did we?
Yeah, it was our week-long Halloween marathon.
Oh,
we were
God.
Carving pumpkins.
Oh, yeah. It's all coming back to me.
Pumpkin carving.
Yeah, Peach loves it.
Peach loves it when we carve pumpkins.
Peach loves pumpkin.
But it's really good for dogs, too.
She won't eat it out of the bowl that we're scooping it into.
She wants to eat it straight from the pumpkin.
She gets in the way and tears it out of the pumpkin and then walks off like she's misbehaving. And we're like, this is fine. You're fine doing this. Like, it's cool. But, yeah.
So another thing that could have been going on was this was Mel Brooks' first directing gig.
Really?
Yeah.
This is the first we brought up
Mel Brooks?
Mel Brooks.
Well, it's not a very Mel Brooks
movie. It completely slipped my mind that this was a Mel Brooks movie.
The whole Springtime for Hitler thing is
very Mel Brooks.
In fact, there's one scene where there's somebody singing... And I don't remember who it was, but it's during some of the Springtime for Hitler stuff. Somebody gets up on stage and sings, and that person was not Mel Brooks, but the voice was clearly Mel Brooks' voice. Like, no doubt about it. Like, I glanced away from the screen, was doing something, I heard Mel Brooks' voice, so my head snapped back. Wait, that's still Mel Brooks' voice, but that's not him.
What was the last big Mel Brooks movie?
That we watched?
No.
Oh.
Just last big Mel Brooks movie.
Spaceballs?
No, Robin Hood. Didn't he do Robin Hood? No.
Robin Hood Men in Tights?
No, he didn't.
No? Why is it in my head that that's a Mel Brooks movie?
His filmography.
Oh, he did...
The last thing they're showing, that's... Let's see. In what respect?
No, it was Spaceballs.
Producer.
The last movie that would have, like, a Mel Brooks film on the on the movie poster.
Actually, you're right. As a director, he did do Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Oh, okay. Kayla nailed it.
But that wasn't his last one. His last directing.
Well, I was just saying that I know that Robin Hood.
Yeah, that
after
was the
Spaceballs.
Second to last. It was Dracula Dead and Loving It, which was Leslie Nielsen.
No, I've never seen that, but that sounds like something I would watch.
He was a producer on the new producers.
We're talking about directing.
No. Oh, directing?
And I'm going to check writing.
That's probably because he thought that if he produced this movie that was a flop, he could make more money.
Dracula Dead and Loving It. Wait, does that
What year is that?
95.
95.
Does that have the dude from Police Squad in there?
Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, God, that guy's so fucking funny.
Start off as a serious actor, too.
He's dead now.
Yep.
But, God.
Womp womp.
Police Squad is so fucking good.
Yeah. Supposedly, there's been talk of them making another Spaceballs movie. Spaceballs, The Search for More Money.
How can you, though?
I'd watch it.
That's the problem. You just do it based on a bunch of stuff, like the
original Spaceballs was subtitled Jews in Space, or that was the working title or something like that. It was fucking hilarious.
That is a great movie. I still love that movie.
That guy's sneezing,
and I need to go back and watch it. But supposedly somebody said in The Force Awakens, there's a long shot in the desert where you can see stormtroopers literally combing the desert. Like, based on Spaceballs. Yeah.
I fucking love that scene. We're combing
the desert. We ain't seen shit. Yeah. Yeah, Mel Brooks is really good. I really like his comedy.
There's your podcast Snapchat.
Uh oh!
Podcast. I sent it to you.
Oops. Is that going to be? Is that going to be? Should I add that to the? Because I added your last one.
Oh yeah!
What the fuck?
I think it's a.
That
good,
is a fucking masterpiece.
Yeah. It's a snap masterpiece.
And you can commission Jesus. Kayla. to have Snapchat art drawn for you. It's probably somehow.
I love the highlights in his hair. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't have much else to say about the movie. I can't
believe I forgot this was a Mel Brooks movie.
It's
probably because it's his first.
It's his first movie that he directed, yeah.
It doesn't. And it's based off a play. Was it a Mel Brooks play, or was it?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
That might be it, because it definitely has Mel Brooks' stamp on it. Now that I'm thinking about it, but it isn't. It doesn't have all of the Mel Brooks flair.
Yeah. So there was the producers in '67, the 12 Chairs, which I'm not even familiar with that.
12 Chairs
in '70. Then Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles, Silent Movie, High Anxiety, History of the World Part 1, Spaceballs, Life Stinks, Robin Hood, Men in Tights, and Dracula Dead and Loving It. Man's 90 years old.
Mel Brooks?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. He has a long, strong career.
Yeah. I mean, this movie is...
67.
Will be 50 years old next year.
That's why I was trying to figure out when his last, like...
So, and you got to figure his first directing gig was when he was 41 years old.
Right.
You know, and that's before he did the stuff that he's really best known for.
Yeah, the Mel Brooks masterpieces that you think of when you think of Mel Brooks. It's kind of inspiring.
I need to catch up.
Right.
You have time to get there. I need to catch up.
It's the same with Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
Who, I don't remember how old he was when he first started acting, but he was like, I want to say 40 or something, in his 40s.
Something like that.
I'm just reading the quotes. I'm looking for anything that sparks a memory about the movie. The quotes are good.
So read some of them.
Hitler, there was a painter. He could paint an entire apartment in one afternoon. Two coats. What the fuck is happening in this scene right now?
Gene Wilder's just discomfort, like, during that scene and the scene where they're getting the director in the director's apartment. What does he say to him? He's wearing a dress. Watching stuff like that is so interesting to me, especially, like, considering now the social revolutions that we're going through, like, where we're working to the point where it's not that interesting to see a man in a dress, or that's what we hope to, like, at some point get to.
What's okay, so I saw something on Facebook today, and I won't say who posted it.
Was it me? I'm right here.
It was not you.
Okay.
It was a picture of Klinger from MASH wearing a dress. Mm-hmm. And it was a meme, and it said something to the effect that nowadays... back then, this would have gotten you kicked out. Nowadays, it gets you a promotion and
isn't that the whole else. Premise is that it doesn't get him kicked out? Right. Like, he's trying because
they know
time. Because
they know it's not
right.
And but the thing is, he was trying to get kicked out because he had a mental issue.
Right.
Not that he was a cross-dresser, not that he was effeminate, not that he was gay. Is that he, by wearing a dress, he had a mental problem.
Right.
I see. Right. Until they brought up the dress.
Excuse me.
It was like I didn't think it. About it. Yeah. Like,
oh, I know, I totally did because I can.
Like, we watch.
You can feel the discomfort from the start of the scene, which starts when they're greeted by his assistant.
I thought it started when they got in that elevator.
From that moment, what is the other guy's name? Not Gene Wilder. Well, every time the assistant turns around, he makes fun of his effeminate like. Mannerisms.
Mm.
Like, that completely sets the scene for what, for the discomfort you're supposed to feel heading into this other scene where the director's in a dress.
Oh. So, I'm looking at the trivia. Mm-hmm. Mel Brooks' voice is dubbed in for a singer in Springtime for Hitler. Mel only sings, "Don't be stupid, be a smarty, come on, join the Nazi party."
Yes, yeah, exactly. That's
for dancer Tucker Smith. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In a Playboy magazine interview, Mel Brooks recalled the filming. "I did dumb things. First day on set, first scene. Sound men are ready. Cameras are rolling. The director's supposed to say action. Being a little nervous, I said, cut." This movie had two of the 100 greatest movie lines by premiere in 2007. Number 88, "We the defendants find you incredibly guilty." And number 14, "I'm author, you are the audience, I outrank you." I did like that. "We find you incredibly guilty."
It does have a lot of really strong lines in it.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It may contain the first use of the term creative accounting. 0 Mostel, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I think it's Mostel, was thoroughly embarrassed by how fat he was during the filming and lamented how for all he'd done... he'd be forever remembered as, quote, "that fat guy" in the producers.
No. Like the part where they're about to blow up the building and Gene Wilder is talking to the guy and he's like, "I'm sorry about when I called you a fat, fat.
Fatty fat.
A fatty fat."
You know, I realized that as he was doing that in that scene, it got my hackles up, like that he was doing that he was saying that. So that when he came back and apologized for it, it was like, man, that's not something you'd necessarily see.
The apology?
Today, the apology. Like,
oh, that. Yeah.
Like, in a buddy movie, the guys would be ripping on each other, and like things get serious in the end, you wouldn't see an apology.
oh no, and you expect a character who's overweight to be made fun of for being overweight, and they don't deserve an apology for that because they're overweight, they deserve it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I thought that, and there was a, for all of the sort of like homophobic tendencies of the movie, in that scene with the gay director, like, it's something to look back and see all of the, like, how physically affectionate these two male actors are towards each other as these characters.
Yeah.
And that's totally like a, because they are very physical with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's totally considered, or was considered, fine. So it's kind of like this weird, I don't know, how we kind of outgrew that, but then there's this push to get back to that. Like, allowing men to be like that without...
be friendly and...
right, yeah. And affection... like, I don't know if affection is the right term, but, like...
yeah, no, I think it is.
Yeah.
So there's... So then you have the opposite thing happen, where it's starting to swing a little farther than that, where... So in the Captain America movies,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have Captain America and Bucky and Sam Falcon, who are buds. They're bros. They're friends.
Mm-hmm.
They're affectionate to each other. They're guys who are friends, but there's a deep love and respect for each other. So now you have people saying, well, wouldn't it be great if Bucky and Cap were gay?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Isn't there half canon for that, though?
No.
No.
In the comic books? No?
No.
I thought there was a comic book where he was saying, like, Hydra was, like, tempting him with girls or something like that, and he's like, that's not going to do it for me. And she's like, what about boys? Or some shit like that. I can't remember.
I don't know about any of that.
All right.
I don't know.
I don't read comic books. I saw it online. Might not be real.
So
yeah, you see that everywhere.
Yeah. So I think that actually kind of is dismissive of heterosexual guys being affectionate and friends and being loving toward one another.
Yeah, being able to show that affection without going straight to...
making out.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
Where was I? Oh, this is actually incredibly relevant to the rant on Facebook I had last night where...
the runts one? Or
no, not the runts one.
Because, you know what?
Because in my main fandom...
I'll just take all your runts. It's fine.
I don't allow banana runts near me.
When I was in Virginia, I bought a bag of just banana runts.
Yeah, yeah, I know. We were talking about how you can get just banana runts.
Just banana runts.
I don't know what's wrong with people. In my main fandom... which is a fandom I'd share with nobody I know near me, which is Sailor Moon. There's a lot of that, because there's a lot of different characters, and Sailor Moon was, for a show in the 90s, it was very inclusive of LGBT plus characters and, like, all these different scenarios, and there's gender bending and, like, all this stuff. So, like... there's all these arguments about these relationships and, like, people shipping. Shipping is, I don't know if that's a word that anybody else is.
Yeah, familiar. I know.
I figured you would be. Alex, are you familiar with the term ship?
Yeah.
Okay. I know I say it all the time at home, but I just assume.
Hey, we had a small discussion about people shipping two characters in Steven Universe today and me being perplexed about it.
We didn't have a small discussion. I said as I was leaving the room... everyone ships Amethyst and Pearl.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that.
That confuses me. It doesn't make sense to me.
But it's the same thing where, like...
I could see Pearl...
it's especially difficult when we're talking about, like something like Sailor Moon, which is from a completely different culture, and we see the way two male characters interact, and people in the fandom are just like, oh, well, that means they're gay. Like, when there are no other, like signs of a relationship, and like the way men interact in other cultures is completely, or how they're allowed to act mm-hmm. is completely different.
So,
but if you say anything, like, I don't want to be accused of like erasing like homosexual culture, but I just want to be fair to the creator and like what they actually are intending.
Yeah. Right.
Right. And I don't want to shove people into boxes just because they're like slightly affectionate towards another man.
So there's a scene in the movie Top Gun with that's the volleyball scene.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the volleyball
scene. Everyone calls it the homoerotic.
It's a homoerotic scene.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just guys playing volleyball mm-hmm. with other guys?
I don't think...
You know, I mean...
I don't think it's the playing volleyball with other guys that makes people call that scene homoerotic. Isn't there, like, music and weird camera angles going on with it?
Yeah, but what...
I think that's the part that trips people up, where they're like, not necessarily the acting,
but... So are you saying the assumption...
So the thing is...
The way it was edited...
But the thing is, so the way that it's edited, this is... The problem is that Top Gun is an action movie for guys.
For men.
For guys.
Okay.
That scene...
For bros.
That scene, and there's the lollipop scene with him and Kelly McGillis, those scenes... For the ladies, they're meant as eye candy for the ladies.
So what are saying? Is,
But the thing is, in his guy movie, you're having dudes with their shirts off playing volleyball, looking all sweaty and sexy. So they must be homos.
Well, saying that the implication isn't that the characters are homosexual, but it's assuming that the people watching it, who are assumed to be men, would.
That's the interesting thing is that the assumption is that this is a guy movie, but it's also there's also a huge part of the movie that's a romance and a love story.
I totally understand that angle, but I'm just saying, like, the way the scene is put together kind of makes it seem like a bad porn intro. Like, after that, they go back to the locker room.
Or the best porn intro. So what you're implying is that the characters have homosexual tendencies.
Not really, because they don't do anything homosexual. It's just weird editing. I just think the editing was out of place with the music and the shot styles.
So the thing
stuff.
Is, if that same scene in the same movie was chicks playing volleyball,
we would never hear about it again.
There would at no point would there be an assumption that they were lesbians. At no point.
No. And it would, it would never be referred to as homoerotic
right.
for any reason.
Yeah.
If you had that same scene in a movie geared towards women, you wouldn't say that that scene was homoerotic.
In a movie geared towards women, it would be really out of place. Probably much more out of place in a movie.
I mean, the same with women. If you had that scene with women in it, in a movie geared towards women, so like a chick flick,
right.
You wouldn't say, oh, this is homoerotic because it gives the intended audience, who are women, erotic feelings.
Right.
I'm now mixing up the fucking music in the scenes in Top Gun. I can't remember what music was playing with it.
Playing with the Boys.
Was it?
It was Playing with the Boys.
I
know it was Playing with the Boys.
I don't know what that song is. Is that one of the fucking
Kenny
Loggins?
Playing with the Boys.
Is that like, we're gonna have a montage? Like that style? Or
it's a little less aggressive than that. It's a little more
then it's
poppy.
The one that I'm thinking of.
It's a little more poppy
than
that.
I've seen this movie.
The Top Gun?
But I know the scene that you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
It's not my type of movie.
It's been a while.
I'm a woman.
It's not a good movie.
It's the best movie.
It's basically the same movie as Days of Thunder, except I watched Days of Thunder more times because it had cars in it.
It is very similar to Days of Thunder.
It is. They both have scenes where Tom runs.
Cold trickle.
So specifically, to go back to the Sailor Moon fandom, because it's just something I love to talk about, there's a lot of artwork that the creator put out that has nothing to do with the story. She just turns out artwork because she mm-hmm. loves to draw. And there's a lot of images of female characters in like affectionate poses or like embracing each other. And there's no assumption of their possible relationships with each other.
Right.
But if you even have two men touching.
Well, the other part of that though is the amount of canon material in the Sailor Moon universe is enormous.
So there's like four or five different canon.
You know all their love interests. You know their sexuality. So there's much less ambiguity.
That's what I thought too, until I found out that there's a whole half of the fandom who doesn't agree with the shipping.
The wrong half is what you're saying?
There's a whole half of the fandom who's completely wrong. Like, the creator came out and said that this is how it is.
Kayla is wanting to hit her hand on the table to emphasize points.
But she's learned.
But she can't.
Because she listens to the podcast, she knows better.
Yeah.
So just picture somebody like slamming on the table every syllable.
Gaveling.
I don't mind when people like they have like fictional ships that they would like to see. So they like write fan fiction or, you know.
Sure.
They do. But I think
that's mostly how fan fiction.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like 100% of fan fiction.
It's
98. Yeah, okay. Let's. That's fair.
I had a dream that these two characters boned. I'm going to write about that.
Yeah.
Well, then there's the whole slash fic, which is that, if I'm not mistaken, that specifically came out of Star Trek.
Oh, yeah?
Because it was Kirk slash Spock.
I think you're right.
I believe it was that the term specifically came out of Star Trek.
The shipping of characters from the Harry Potter universe,
oh my God,
is out of hand. The first I ever heard of that was outside of canon was Harry and Draco. And I think that's a compelling, like, interesting thought.
That would have been fucking entertaining. If, like, at the end of the last book, they just started making out when they saw each other.
The thought that, like, all
we've repressed all this for so long.
And it's funny. Like, you see the memes for it and stuff. It's, like, really hilarious.
And if you think about it, there are a lot of... what's the word when things, like, kind of represent penises?
Phallic?
There are a lot of phallic things in the Harry Potter
universe. Oh, God. Have you seen the thing?
The snakes.
Where every time you see the word wand in a Harry Potter book, you replace it with the word penis?
Yeah, there's like a quote.
There's a video. There's a video that some guy does where he's reading it. And he keeps reading sections. It's like, oh, 8 inches and very flexible. Yeah. a firm 12 inches.
So like there are a lot of phallic things in the Harry Potter universe. Like that, like, oh, when you sent that snake after me. Oh, I dreamed about that for months. It made me so... I ruined the sheets for those house elves.
But like the thought that all of this like back and forth between them is just this romantic or sexual tension, and as like adolescent boys in the 90s, like, they, you know, you don't know how to deal with this. Like, that's a compelling thought to me. But like Harry and Snape. Basically Harry and anybody else is a ship you can find. Your penis, Lucius. I require your penis. Voldemort drew out his own penis and compared the lengths.
Oh.
You talk about penises like they've got feelings, said Harry. Like they can think for themselves.
Is
there an audiobook version of this that I can fall asleep to?
Oh my God.
There's actually a video. Some guy reads like a bunch of these.
Draco's sleek black penis, identical to his father's penis, as far as Harry could remember.
Oh God, so many questions!
Oh my God,
do they have the Michael Jackson disease?
This is the worst one that I've read. Expecto Patronum, Harry yelled. Nothing happened. Harry gripped his penis tighter and shook it up and down until a thick, wispy white substance protruded from the end of it.
The look on Alex's face, for those listening, is pure joy. Just unadulterated, 8-year-old on Christmas morning joy.
I just got a Nintendo 64, you guys.
Each one of these is pure gold. I could read every one of these, and none of them is not on point.
Yeah.
Does Adam know about this yet?
I'm sure he wrote some of it.
Oh, the...
He probably sent in suggestions to oh God, I'm blanking on her name now.
JK.
JK for the seventh book. Here are your penis wand quotes for this book.
As a matter of fact, Harry Potter was written by Adam, but everything was originally penis, and then J.K. Rowling got a hold of it and just replaced it all with wand.
It was Harry Pecker. she just changed the spelling of the first word and changed the second word.
Control H. This is gonna make me rich.
See, I could almost make a case for Hermione and Draco. I think that would actually be an interesting ship.
Oh yeah, I need to read *Cursed Child*. No matter what Adam is saying,
I've got it.
I have to.
I read the prologue.
I'm gonna read it
and
even
then put
if
it back down.
I have to read through it because I'm reading things on Tumblr and Instagram that I don't realize are spoilers until I've read through all of it.
Mm.
Wow, I've got nothing else to say about producers.
We weren't talking about producers, we were talking about shipping.
I would ship Pearl and Peridot.
No.
Not Peridot. Fucking
Lapis?
No. Pearl and
Jasper.
No, I can't remember her fucking name.
Quartz. Rose Quartz.
No, the big one.
Garnet?
Garnet, yeah.
Garnet?
No.
Here's why.
No. No. First of all, Garnet
Which
is a relationship.
Pearl's the real thin, tall one.
Right. Yeah. Okay. First of all, Garnet is a relationship in and of herself.
Yes. But the way Pearl tricked Garnet into fusing with her multiple times shows there was like some interest there. But Pearl loves Rose. Like, period.
Yeah. First of all, Pearl is in love with Rose. Second of all, tricking someone into fusing with you isn't exactly a great start to a relationship.
Fucking Lapis and
Jasper.
Jasper. That was fucked up. This kind of reminds me of the time that I was trapped at the bottom of the ocean holding Jasper down there to prevent her from killing all of you guys for a year.
I feel like
the
Venn diagram of people who watch Steven Universe and of people who listen to this podcast, I feel like that intersection is very small.
Minimal.
If non-existent.
It's a really fucking good
show. You'd be surprised.
Well, hit us up.
Because there are like three people
that listen to
this show.
Right.
So you're one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you watch Steven Universe. So.
That's fair. Well, if you watch Steven Universe and you're listening to this show right now, hit us up on
Twitter or Facebook. Rob, Rich, Sam.
Sam.
Do you guys watch?
Now we'll find out from them at Sausage Fest.
Well, not Rob.
No, this won't be released.
But I mean, we'll talk.
We'll be talking about
Steven Universe at Sausage Fest.
Will we?
Fucking guaranteed.
I do kind of want to get the notion out there that if people want to do backseat rebuttal, they totally can. Like, I would totally package that up and release those.
Yeah.
Because I keep trying to get Sam to do it.
I know Sam is always like...
He's
like
always...
rebutting our comments.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
What was so great is I used to get, like... I would get these random hangout messages from Sam, like 3 months after an episode's release. Ah, Tony, what are you doing to me? What were you thinking? Which episode, Sam?
Yeah, what are we talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about. That's like we had this friend Phil. He would every time he would see me, he's like, the episode I listened to this week, you were so wrong. Which episode was it, Phil? It was about a movie. God damn it, Phil. They're all about movies.
They're all about movies.
Oh, when you said that thing halfway through, that just drove me crazy. What did I say, Phil? Because I don't remember. Spoiler, I don't remember everything I say.
Yeah, it's kind of
Isn't
alarming
it weird?
How like people will bring something up and I'm like, I have no clue what I was saying. even when Rob said something today, and he's like, Kayla, you're so right. And I'm like, I'm sure I was, but I don't know what we're talking about.
Considering you were the one that liked it, and the rest of us were bagging on it, I'm pretty sure that's what he meant.
Sam said something to me a couple weeks ago, and I can't even remember what Sam and I were talking about. He like had to recap what I was talking about.
Final Fantasy Tactics.
No, it was after
that.
Was that something different?
And then I was like, I know my opinions on this, but I can't fucking remember what I said.
Yeah, there are times when I go back and listen to an episode, and I'm like, wow, I don't remember saying... I that is clearly my voice saying those things, but I don't remember that. Or we'll get to a part of a conversation that I just don't remember happening.
Oh, it was something about... We were talking about guns, and I think I was talking about how some dude brought his assault rifle to the airport because he could. And, like, he didn't get shot by police because he was white. And, like, I think that's what it was. I can't remember. But, yeah.
Oh, I had a little story I wanted to share that happened to me earlier in this week. I guess I already told Adam, so I don't have to hold on to it for Adam. So I almost murdered my brother.
Oh, God, yeah.
At the beginning of this week. I've been really into this game called Starbound. Like, really into it. Mm-hmm. I've put, like, over 90 hours into this game, and it's a crafting game.
Okay.
So I've been building this colony, and you build, like, this ship, and you upgrade it, and you have to furnish it, and you have to build colonies, and, like, get people to move to your colony, and, like... gather resources. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
So, the electricity in the office, which has three computers in it, is on two separate breakers.
Ooh.
And the breaker that... it's really weird.
Yeah.
And the breaker that my brother's is on, it's kind of tricky. Like, if you have his computer running full force, plus other things connected to the electricity there, and somebody turns on the microwave, it'll trip the breaker. Like,
microwaves are terrible for that.
The
hair dryers, heaters,
microwaves. Both mine and his computer and the microwave are all on the same circuit, and they're two gaming rigs, so they're both
But yours has the battery backup.
But they're both pulling like 500 watts, and then you turn the microwave on, which pulls like 1500 watts. And then
I don't even think that's what happened this time. I don't think anybody was on the microwave. Like,
no, Ashley was.
Oh, was she?
Yeah. And James had some game running in the background.
And what happens is, if you're downstairs, you don't realize that everybody might be upstairs playing a game. So you're like, I'm hungry. I'm going to pop something in the microwave. James wasn't even on his computer. Right. James wasn't even on his computer. He just had a computer, his computer running with a game. He had
Skyrim running in the background or something.
And he wasn't anywhere near his computer. So it trips the breaker. My computer's safe, and my computer was the one that the game was running on. Like, I connect to my game, and then James and Alex always join mine because it's where all the stuff is. So Alex doesn't get cut out of the game because he's on a battery backup, but he saves and leaves. A few seconds later, all the power in the room shuts off, and my computer just is gone. So James had gone downstairs to fix the breaker and had flipped a bunch of random connections and turned my computer off. So I'm
That's
like,
not how those work.
Yeah, I know. We all know. So what I thought was I had just lost 2 hours of really hard, intense construction that I had done on my ship and on my colony. So I was like, that sucks. So I'm probably going to be done for the night. You know, I'll pick it back up tomorrow and see what I can. I logged back in, and not only did I lose 2 hours of the game, my entire game had been corrupted. All of my everything, my file was completely erased.
The file was open and writing when she lost power. And I think it's a binary file. I didn't inspect it, but it was...
So when I tried to pull up the game and pull up my character, which is where everything was on, it just wasn't... It wasn't on the list anymore. And it's the only character I have, so it's like...
Jesus.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm just, like...
Kale's got, like, a 2,000-yard stare, and I can see... rage. just building. Rage and panic.
Like, I did not know what to do. Somehow, some way, Alex MacGyvered this thing.
The game takes rolling backups.
Oh.
Thank God.
We were trying to figure out how to do it through Steam. Steam has a backup system, but you have to manually do it. You have to tell it, backup my game.
Right.
I never do that because, well, maybe now I will. But, so Alex goes into the game files, and there's a backup of my character saved from...
It's like an hour and a half, 2 hours before.
It was 2 hours before.
Yeah.
And he replaces the player file, and I end up getting my most of my stuff back. But for 20 minutes... I was just sitting in my computer chair, staring at my desk.
And the world was fine. Somehow that saved when I logged out.
It wouldn't have been if we couldn't have pulled my character back
Correct.
Up.
Correct. Yeah. So like the only part that was totally fucked seemed to be Kayla's character profile.
Actually, everything, yeah, but... At that moment, my character profile was everything, but when Alex got the backup, almost everything ended up correcting itself.
Yeah.
But for a very long time, it looked like everything we had done had been erased.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that's the story of how I almost killed my brother this week.
Wow.
And then we went and got a de-stress milkshake.
Yeah, then I turned everything off. Got a milkshake.
With vodka.
A vodka milkshake. It got me thinking, like... I think there's a, like, this isn't something that happens very often anymore. Like, if you're playing computer games, almost all games save constantly now. There aren't a lot of games where you find save points or, like, fill memory cards. It's all on your machine.
Right.
But there's, like, this, so as far as gaming goes, in the future, this won't ever affect people anymore, but there's this section of us who remember what it was like putting hours and hours into a video game and having, like, a younger sibling erase the file or save over the file.
I had a coworker who had a story. We all played Diablo 2 together.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after it came out. And he had his characters there. And his son got on his computer. And I don't remember how old the kid was. Somewhere between like 4 and 8 years old, mm-hmm. and started,
which know, is the clicking, age clicking for this
on
to
things,
happen.
Clicking on things, deleted all his character files,
mm-hmm.
gone. I remember games where if you didn't specifically tell it to save, it didn't. There were no save points. There were no auto saves. Nothing like that.
And there was never a warning either.
No, it was if you closed it, that was it. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Just gone.
Mm-hmm.
My dad ruined my little brother's Pokemon save. He did it by accident. My little brother was playing Pokemon at a dinner table at a restaurant somewhere. And instead of my dad telling him to, you know, hey, turn it off or whatever, he said, like, hey, turn it off. And Jesse was like, okay, well, as soon as this battle's over, I can't save in the middle of the fight. My dad took his Game Boy away and pulled the cartridge out while the Game Boy was still on. Instant wipe.
Yep.
And my little brother was inconsolable because that was like, he had like 50 or 60 hours in that game. His Pokedex, he had like 120 or something out of 150. And I was like, look, I know this sucks. We'll just tag team this. I will help you get back to a point where you can start catching, you know, legendaries again, and then you can have it back.
Ooh, as a parent, that has to feel like awful because you can't.
Yeah.
I imagine your father didn't back down.
No, he didn't back apologize? Down. And he showed no fucking remorse or apology at all.
I can only imagine, like, there's a very small section of parents who would be able to be like, oh, I fucked this up.
Yeah.
Like, most people would probably double down.
No, he doubled down. He ate his dinner in silence.
As the parent at the table, I'm nodding.
Yeah.
There's...
Like...
When the kid goes to bed, that's when you turn to your wife and say... Man, I fucked that up bad.
Fucked this up.
Am I the worst human being that ever lived?
But when they're there.
But yeah, I don't think
I'm doing this again.
I don't think my dad actually understood, like, the investment that Jesse had made. And, you know, he was, like, six or seven at the time. So like that, that was like,
you should have gone out and slashed your dad's tires.
Yeah. That was like Jesse's like shit. Like that's what he
that's
did.
It, yeah.
In his like, was
you know what's weird to me is that he still always played video games at the, when we were eating. So what lesson was he taught?
It never changed.
They weren't consistent with
no,
it.
No.
He just in that moment of rage, he.
Yeah, my parents were never
actually
consistent with rule enforcement.
The number one, because I was, by the time we got consoles in my house that had like the PlayStation 1 was probably the first one, the PlayStation 2, where there were games where you had to spend a lot of time investing in it, I was too old to do something like that, like I knew. But if anybody listening remembers Mr. Austin... when Austin was like four or something, he was living with us, and I don't remember whose it was, but he erased somebody's Final Fantasy X file, I think. And the two of you aren't Final Fantasy players, but
no, but I'm aware of how epic gaming,
right?
How big that can get.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why I never...
You're talking to somebody who had a 16-page PlayStation, like, save card. Like, fuck yeah.
Excuse me. But you played games like... You played, like, racing games and, like, Call of Duty and Crash Bandicoot. And we're talking about Final Fantasy X, which is, like, hours and hours and hours of investment into a storyline.
Well,
like, right before the final boss.
See, my thing was, at that point, I was not a console gamer. I was a PC gamer.
Mm-hmm.
So, whenever I had a game save opportunity, I saved to a new file.
Yeah.
I was always saving to new files.
Like, well, the thing in our house was, there's a lot of people and not a lot of memory cards. So...
Well, this was... To the PC's hard drive.
Right.
You know, so it's not like, different. And it was my PC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was, I put together my PC. It was in my room. It was mine.
Yeah. That's how I ended up doing things. Like, I would make multiple saves at different times.
Well, my console gaming before that was the 2600, you know, and then the original NES, which... There were no save games in the original.
Right.
No, you get the code.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you were lucky if you got a code.
And if you wrote the fucking code the right way.
Yeah.
Is that a 6 or a G?
Oh, the worst? What? It was one of the fucking Mega Man games. No, it wasn't one of them. It might have been a space game that I had. The codes were like different. Like spaceships and characters.
Oh yeah! That's
so then I'm like
fun.
Fucking drawing this out in a 3x3 grid. But no, like I remember I had a football game on the NES. There was no code for a save point.
Oh no!
If you started an NFL season, you had like 16 fucking games to
yep.
play.
Oh yeah! Like, you pushed through.
That was your night.
And so
if you injured a player on game two, that player's fucked. You don't get to use him anymore.
I had an epic round on the Atari 2600 of Missile Command. I started playing after we got home from church on Sunday morning. I played one game, and that game, my mom was like, Tony, it's time to get off of there. It's time for dinner. It's 6 o'clock. One game of Missile Command on the 2600. I played for like 6 hours. It was ridiculous and pretty fucking glorious.
I had some Mario games that I paused like overnight.
The console was in their bedroom.
Oh.
So that was it.
Mine was
that
was in the living room.
And there's no, I mean, there's no pause, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Okay. Well, I step away. That's all you could do. It's like, you know, eating dinner. I don't even remember what dinner was, but I remember just keep looking back. Man, that was so great.
No, so I didn't have like a long RPG game, but like Gran Turismo 2. Like, I understand like putting a lot into a game because Gran Turismo 2 is probably my first game where you had to do a lot of shit to get certain things. Like in Gran Turismo 2, you might have to do like a 24-hour endurance race to get a car. And that was 24 fucking real-time hours to get a car.
That's, like, wow.
Yeah.
What? In a row?
Yeah. So like you would start the race.
And then 24 hours later.
Race 24 game hours later, you were done. So that might
game hours?
Yeah, that might span across like 4 days because you would pause the game. You couldn't save in the middle of the race. You would pause the game and be like, I hope my fucking power doesn't go out.
What?
Yeah. Go to school, go to, you know, do whatever, and then come back, unpause, continue racing until bed, pause. Wake up early the next morning, unpause.
That's too much.
That's crazy pants.
So, like, I understand investing a lot of time in a game.
So this is one of my favorite jokes. Jesus and Satan have a discussion as to who is the better programmer. This goes on for a few hours until they come to an agreement to hold a contest with God as the judge. They sit themselves at their computers and begin and type furiously, lines of code streaming from the screen for several hours straight. Seconds before the end of the competition, a bolt of lightning strikes, taking out the electricity. Moments later, the power is restored and God announces the contest is over. He asks Satan to show him what he's come up with. Satan is visibly upset and cries, I have nothing. I lost it all when the power went out. Very well then, says God, let's see if Jesus fared any better. Jesus enters a command and the screen comes to life in vivid display. The voices of an angelic choir pour forth from the speakers. Satan is astonished. He stutters, but how? I lost everything, yet Jesus' program is intact. How did he do it? God smiles all knowingly. Jesus saves.
There's a... I hit Control S.
And takes
like I
damage.
Have Tourette's in my left hand. But yeah, yeah. I there's also a shirt, a D&D shirt that says Jesus saves and takes half damage.
Yeah, I've seen that one. Yep.
When I was doing a contract for someone, and we were designing something, and it was a huge file we were working on, and I was constantly hitting Control S, constantly, even I hadn't done anything on the file, but it just been a couple minutes since the last time we had touched it. Like, just, I just do it. But it got to the point where the file was so big, it, like, every time I did that, it, like, took a couple moments for it to, and the guy was getting, like, upset with me. He's like, why is it taking so long? And I'm like, I'm sorry, but, like, it's just habit for me to continually hit Control S, because if we lose all of this, it's gonna be on me. Like,
yeah. Oh,
I've had to walk away from a situation before because, like, I lost the code that I was working on or whatever I was working on for, like, the last 4 hours.
Yep. Like, time to go home.
Yeah, like...
That like, was a huge thing when I was in school is, like, do not come to class and say you lost, like, your progress on this because you are old enough to know... You need to save often, and you need to save, like, duplicates.
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't keep everything you have in one location. So one time, this kid came in, and I had a lot of classes with him. He's super talented, really talented. And he was, like, it was the end of one of our last semesters where we were going to be, like, graduating or moving on to a new school. And he's, like, I've lost everything. Oh, because we were in portfolio class. So, like, all this work we had done in other classes throughout the years, we were compiling them together.
Oh,
he's
wow.
like, I don't have anything because I lost it all. It was all in a hard drive and it's gone. And we're like, how is that even possible? Like, why would you do that to yourself?
Yeah, like,
I kept, like, I had a hard drive, I had my computer, I had multiple flash drives. Like,
you had your CDs. Time machine yes. backups to the fucking network storage, which was duplicated.
Right.
Like,
yep.
No, everything I do at work is on my local machine. It automatically backs up to source control every 2 minutes. Like, it's like, even if my machine catches on fire spontaneously, I go back 2 minutes max. Like,
that's good.
Yeah. Like, I have an automatic check-in for the my own branch where it's just like, boop, boop, like whether it compiles or not, just straight over. Losing work is bad. My first big loss, it's the first time I worked with a source control called Subversion. And I checked all this code out, did a shitload of work, and then checked it all back in. And Subversion was like, there's a merge conflict, and I answered a really like cryptic question wrong, and it just replaced all my work with the server version. And then I'm like, I'm going to go get some lunch.
Yep.
Then I left for like an hour and a half. This is my old job. And came back. And I was like, okay. Let's try this fucking thing again.
I think there was one time in school where I lost a ton of work I did because I had forgotten to save. But I ended up redoing it better than I was doing it before, so it didn't matter.
Yeah. The times that I've lost stuff, I found that starting from scratch again, learning what I learned from the mistakes that I made along the way, it actually ends up better for me.
It really depends for me. Like,
yeah.
There is that period of time where you're like, I need a break.
Yeah.
Like this... like this soul crushing thing just happened. This is
the point in time when I wish I worked back in a fast food restaurant where I could go into the walk in freezer behind the walk in cooler and just scream instead of being in this office environment where I just need to sit here and weep silently.
I've read stories about programmers who like their computer crashes and it wasn't backing up like they thought it was to the NAS. And then like they just go out and cry in the bushes in front of the fucking building for an hour and come back and go back to work. I'm like, yeah, like I couldn't imagine losing like a few days worth of code.
Yep. We have a number of occasions at work where somebody will contact us. Hey, can we get backups from our machine? Save it to the network? No. We can't. We don't have the resources to back up machines. We just don't.
We're required to back up certain data, which is why all that certain data lives in source control.
Oh yeah.
Like,
well, this is just everyone at the garden. So it's just not feasible.
Yeah, at our place, like only a handful of teams have solid like hard drive backups going.
Yeah.
Like I don't need all my shit backed up. Like I don't care if the code's backed up. I'm good. if I lose my computer, the thing that'll be pissed off most about is that it's going to take like 3 days for Outlook to sync back up.
Yeah, that does take a while.
My boss just had to go through that. They upgraded his Outlook from 2010 to 2016, and it corrupted his PST file when it updated. So he had to re-download 10 years worth of fucking email.
We moved to Outlook 365. We moved to Office 365, and it's like...
We can't do that.
You can't.
Because they have limitations on how many outgoing emails you can send at a time.
Oh.
So you can't do like email blasts and mail merges through it.
Right.
So like... This was a discussion that I was loosely involved in. So like, even if we did that, we would still have to keep a mail server in our office for all of our email blasts. And we're like, if we have to keep one, there's no point.
Right.
Like, but yeah.
All right. I think I'm done.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a wrap.
Next week, The Big Short.
Big Short.
Or maybe that'll be 2 weeks from now, depending on timing of when all this stuff gets released. Might throw the Sausage Fest episode in there if we get around to recording it immediately after.
Or if we cancel again.
Or if we're all 3/4 dead after Sausage Fest. Everybody's going to talk like this. Or maybe it'll just be me.
Well, how did we all get 30 years of smoking? Well, it'll be you if you inhale that stuff again.
Oh. No, that's not what I am. That was bad. All right. See you guys next time.